You know, a lot of people love the Bible. They just don't love to read the Bible. Let me tell you why that's so dangerous. If you love the Bible, but you don't read the Bible, you're going to end up loving God and living immorally and thinking it's all right. Did you know that Jesus read the Bible? Look at him when he stood up in the synagogue. He read from Isaiah. He read from Joel. He read from the scriptures. And then he quoted the scriptures all through the New Testament. He's quoting chunks of the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus read the Bible.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message where Pastor Wayne laid out principles for seeing the world through God's perspective. We often get so deep in the weeds that we cannot see how God is at work. We need a view from 30,000 feet and see His great purpose for our lives. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, How to Think About the World.
In life, there's times I start a relationship or a business or some kind of contract of any kind, whatever it might be, and I fast forward the tape. When I'm in bed, I just think, okay, if I do this and if I go into this, this is going to be the responsibilities, it's going to be the time requirements, and I just keep fast forwarding the tape. You're in an emotional relationship with a girl or a guy, and it's not right, but you're just pulled that way. How's it going to end up? Well, you're going to get a divorce with your current wife. Your kids are going to think you're weird. This is going to happen. No. So I don't want that. So what I do then is I rewind the tape and say, done. Steadfast. I fast forward tapes all the time in my mind. I'm almost like a sonar in a submarine where I send out pings and I just ping things. Ping the world, ping this. I talk to advisors, consultants. I stand before God, go in the desert for 40 days and talk to God. And I just, a lot of pings. And then I draw a map. This is the way. And I walk it. And if God sees that it's going the wrong way, He then has the right to veto it. He makes the change. But if I set my heart on a certain way and my ship's already sailed, even what God says won't make a difference. So take that time. Make sure that you're hanging out with trustworthy friends, number one. The second is make a connection, intentional connection with the Word of God. I mean, you know, a lot of people love the Bible. They just don't love to read the Bible. Let me tell you why that's so dangerous. If you love the Bible, but you don't read the Bible, you're going to end up loving God and living immorally and thinking it's all right. Well, you know, I'm homosexual, but I love God. So why can't I be a Christian? Well, you love the Bible.
Yeah.
But you don't read it. If you don't read it, you're going to have an imbalanced life.
Yeah, I love God,
but there's swearing and cussing and the house is full of animosity. And then it becomes a dichotomy. It becomes something that's in the opposite in the eyes of the world. And they go, well, you guys are weird.
Yeah, but we love the Bible.
Yeah, but you don't read it. Every time Jesus was tempted on the Mount of Temptation, his answer to Satan was, it is what? Did you know that Jesus read the Bible? Look at him when he stood up in the synagogue. He read from Isaiah. He read from Joel. He read from the scriptures. And then he quoted the scriptures all through the New Testament. He's quoting chunks of the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus read the Bible. But yet we in this world, I'm noticing that there is a growing ignorance of the Bible. You know, 20 years ago, if you think about it, educators and politicians would quote from the Bible. They'd say prayers. We'd say prayers in school. Now, all of that's vanishing. It's exactly what Amos 8:11 says, that in the last days there shall be a famine. But it will not be a famine of bread or of water. I mean, we got food, tons of food. It won't be a famine of bread or of water. It'll be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And that's where we are. But it has to start with the household of God. Can everybody say amen? We are the ones that have to bring that resurgence back, replenish again the word of God. So we have a genuine, genuine love of the Bible. Now we have to learn to love to read the Bible, lest there be a disconnect. So make that connection with the Word of God and with trustworthy friends. Find those who are prudent. Find those who've been around the barn a few times and ask them for a lunchtime. You got some questions. You have some things that you'd like to ask. Ask. And then it'll help you so much. And then not only make some connections, but number two, would you write down, then before we judge the world, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. Galatians 6:1 says it in this way. If anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Good, that's what we like to do. We like to restore them, tell them what they need to do. We'll do it in a spirit of gentleness, no problem. But first, each one look to yourselves so that you too might not be tempted. You know, some time ago, my grandkids were playing soccer and I was walking in front of the grandstand where the parents are. And I thought, man, this place stinks. Phew. And I walked a little further. You guys stink too. I thought, man, you smell like dog poop. And then I thought, well, wait a minute here. And there was a big chunk of poop on the sole of my shoe. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Come on. Yeah, you ain't laughing at me. You're laughing at yourself. And I thought, you know, even as Christians, maybe we need to look at our own souls first. It's so easy to make judgments and correct those people. But, you know, we got a long way to go yet. How can we think correctly and biblically of the world if we don't even do it for ourselves? I mean, think about it. Well, I don't like the people out there. Why? Because they don't go to church. I go to church. Well, the mafia goes to church too. They go to church on Sunday, kill you on Monday. Yeah, but I don't like the way they talk. I speak in tongues. Yeah, but you gossip in English. Like, all of us have the same. I mean, look to ourselves, and that's what the scripture says. How's your life? Maybe we should be repenting. Maybe we should kind of shut up a little bit and get our act together a little bit more. Because how can we talk to people about the odor of their lives when there's odor on our shoes? It's coming from us. There's a funny story. This guy went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, I think my wife is deaf." The doctor said, "Deaf? Yeah, I ask a question, she don't answer. So let's do a test. Tonight when you go home and she's cooking, you know, whatever, at the edge of your kitchen, just ask her, 'Mary, what are you cooking?' in a regular voice. And if she doesn't answer, take 5 steps closer. Ask the same question, same decibel level. If she doesn't answer, 5 more steps. 'Mary, what are you cooking?' If she still doesn't answer, go right next to her and ask her. That way I can determine the severity of her hearing loss." He goes, "Whoa, that's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant." So he goes home that night and she's cooking something. He's at the edge of the kitchen. "Mary, what are you cooking?" Nothing. Walks up further. "Mary, what are you cooking?" Still nothing. Thought, oh, the severity of her hearing loss is amazing. It's a lot. Walks up closer. "Mary, what are you cooking?" Nothing. Goes right behind her. "Mary, what are you cooking?" She turns around, she says, "Harry, for the 4th time, beef stew, I told you already." You know, sometimes it's us. Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. So that when you're cleaning your life and you're watching yourself, people are going to see that you're improving and they're going to ask for help. But if there's all kinds of dirt here, why should they? How do you think about the world? It's not the people, God says, are bad. It's the practices. So don't get involved with the practices, the thinking, the perspectives, the reasonings. That lies in under the purview of the evil one. But then look to yourselves. And then finally, when we think about the world, connect everything to a soul. Connect everything to a soul. It's not about just them getting their act together or quit smoking dope or quit cooking meth or quit kicking their dog. Connect it to a soul. John 3:17 is the neighbor to John 3:16. And everybody knows John 3:16, but no one knows its neighbor. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. The goal of God is to save the world, salvation, so that there is eternity for them. Because you see, we live here, but for a short moment. I use the illustration of a cable that I would run through this room and I'd shoot it out this way, as far as I can south. And I'd bring it tight through this room, shoot it as far as I could north until you can't see the ends on either end. I'd say, that's eternity. It just goes on forever. Our life compared to eternity on this earth? Why, I take out a pen and I draw a scratch, a vertical scratch. See the width of that scratch, which is about 1/64th of an inch? That's about how long our life on this earth is compared to eternity. And you know, there's a lot of people that live on this scratch. That's all they think they have is a scratch. They're convinced. So they love the scratch. They protect the scratch. They kiss the scratch. They save for the scratch. They have scratch dreams. Drive scratch cars. Live in scratch homes. Scratch their eyes. But God so loved the scratch that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him on that scratch would have everlasting life. And he put you and me on that scratch. And he says, don't forget who you are. Tell them they have more than the scratch. And he puts us on the scratch. And if we miss that, if we don't connect their souls to eternity, then we've missed it all. I was in a class here at the college, and I said to the students, what would make life like the best, like euphoria? What would be like the best of the best on earth? Oh, one student said, there'd be no cancer. Okay, no cancer. And no crime, no crime, I wrote on the board. What else? No war, no war. Yeah, and started to get really like feeding frenzy. No stealing, no stealing. No hatred, no hate speech. No racism, no this, no that. And I started writing all of these things down. Man, this is great. And once we filled the board with all of these things, I said, now, would that make a beautiful life on this earth? Yes. Woo-hoo. I said, this would be Christmas every day, wouldn't it? Yeah, one big problem. What? All of these people are still going to hell. They just go to hell healthier with more stuff and nobody broke into their house. But if they don't know Jesus, all of this doesn't matter. It's temporary, isn't it? Unless you connect everything to a soul, we miss it all. So we've got to connect it to a soul to see where they are. We got a neighbor that is weird. And he's either high on something or he needs to take more. We'll have our barn lights on and he'll swear at us. You know, I mean, he's like an eighth of a mile away, quarter mile away. And he'll yell across our hay field. Yell, turn off your lights, you know. And the grandkids are playing in the backyard one day. And he gets out on his porch and starts cackling, trying to mimic the laughter of the kids. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like, dude's demon possessed. So I thought, man, he's strange. And he'd come out to the fence if we're building something. Where's your building permit? I want to see your building permit. I was really nice. I just told him to shut up. But that's all I said. Well, that didn't fare well, I guess. But you know, one day he lost his dog. And I guess he really loves his dog, but his dog was gone. Well, Aaron, my son, finds the dog and Dad, what should I do? I said, shoot it. And Just joking, but I said, yeah, well, take it back, you know. So he took it back, and the guy became the nicest person. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. What can I do? Can I pay you? You know, all of this stuff. No, so we're fine. And not, he's been really nice to Aaron. And so now if I have any trouble with him, I call Aaron and say, Aaron, go see your friend. Go talk to your friend. Your friend, yeah, your buddy over there. Go talk to him. You know, it's interesting. Aaron connected this whole situation to a soul. I connected him to a mental condition. But when we start connecting things to a soul, everything changes. Purpose changes. The way we think about the world, it changes. Let me finish with this. Even in church, some of you, we've got the best church, by the way. You know, our shuttle drivers, thank you, thank you. Say thank you to all of the volunteers. Thank you so much. You know, and there's people in our nurseries. There are people setting up here before you come. They set up chairs. Did you know that every chair that you're sitting on has been prayed for, hands laid on it? You've been prayed for this morning already. And when we first began, we didn't have these big speakers. We had to put up little speakers about this big. And as the church grew, we had to have like six on each side on these standards. And this one guy would come in every week, and that's what he'd do. He came in, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm setting up speakers. I said, no, you're not. He said, oh, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. He said, I am, Pastor. I do this every Sunday. I said, no, you're not. He paused, and he said, what am I doing? I said, you know what you're doing? You're making it possible for some person to come into this church, maybe even for the very first time, and to hear the gospel clearly and succinctly without static, without feedback. And when they hear the gospel, maybe for the first time, their hearts are going to be touched by the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the service, when they raise their hand to receive Christ, I didn't lead them to the Lord. We did together. Can I say thank you? And it was connected to a soul. I went into the nursery, and there was a lady changing a baby's diaper, a volunteer changing the baby's diaper. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm changing a diaper. This is a number two. I said, oh, yes, I catch the aroma. But what are you doing? She said, I'm changing a diaper. I said, no, you're not. Said, yes, I am. No, you don't. Trust me, Pastor, I am. I said, no, you're not. She paused and she said, okay. What am I doing? I said, you're making it possible for a young mother to have entrusted her child to this nursery, knowing that that child will be well taken care of, diaper changed, loved. And she's going to be able to come into that auditorium. And she may be able to hear, maybe for the first time, the gospel without interruption, clearly and succinctly. And when she raises her hand to receive Christ, I didn't lead her to the Lord. We did together. Thank you so much. Tears started coming down her eyes. She said, I never saw that before. I said, we connect everything to a soul. And you see, that happens in the world. We can connect them to mental institutions or connect them to weird or demon-possessed or problem or bad people. Jesus connects them to heaven. That there's a potential. No, love not the world, which means the practices, the thinking, be careful of that, the morality, the reasonings, can't do that. That'll mess us up. But we do get to love the people that are caught in that. Pray for them. Now make sure you make good connections with trustworthy people so that you get a good example, good mentors and good exemplars, good connection with the Word of God. That's the guidebook. That's the plumb line. And then connect everything to a soul. When we do, you will think much better about the world. Amen. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled How to Think About the World by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust it has been an encouragement to you. Until next time we meet, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
You know, a lot of people love the Bible. They just don't love to read the Bible. Let me tell you why that's so dangerous. If you love the Bible, but you don't read the Bible, you're going to end up loving God and living immorally and thinking it's all right. Did you know that Jesus read the Bible? Look at him when he stood up in the synagogue. He read from Isaiah. He read from Joel. He read from the scriptures. Jesus read the Bible.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, we lead you with a favorite praise and worship song, His Love Endures Forever. God bless you and aloha.
Kulia Christian Academy, a ministry of New Hope Oahu, is a preschool program for students ages 2 through junior kindergarten and is fully accredited by ACSI. The school is conveniently located off Nimitz Highway on Sand Island Access Road. KCA provides a safe, nurturing, Christ-centered environment. Its experienced staff focus on the independent growth of each student. For more information, to schedule a tour, or to apply, please visit the school's website at kuliachristian.org.